you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. My name is Daniel Dopp, coming to you live from my home. I am joined by Mike Clay. Mike, you appear to be coming to us from your basement, as I have been there once or twice before, and you look very comfortable this morning.
I am, my friend. I'm trying to relax a little bit, enjoy the early stages of the offseason. Still working way too much. You know, there's a lot to do for playoff content. We have some really cool stuff coming out, including projections for every category this weekend. If you play fantasy, you can usually get my projections just by going into the fantasy game, or there's a, you know, a dedicated projection page. We don't obviously have fantasy for the playoffs, so we're going to put them in an E+ article with some player prop stuff, the receiver cornerback matchup sheet. So in addition to this pod, you know, in terms of getting you ready for this weekend, whether it's playing in a, you know, a fantasy playoff contest or playing DFS or whatever it may be, player props, we're going to have some content ready to go for you on E+. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you guys here for the next half hour or so. And we're gonna have some fun this weekend.
I love it. Always working too hard, Mike Clay. You never know how to take a real break.
Hey, that's not true. Yesterday morning, I decided, you know what? I'm going to take 2 hours off. I'm going to grab one of my old DVDs off my shelf, and I'm going to watch LA Confidential. So I basically forced myself away from one screen and went to a different screen. You know, I could have exercised or something. You know what? I actually made cookies yesterday with my daughter too.
Okay.
So I'm becoming more well-rounded already, you know, in all honesty.
I gotta be honest, the over-under on LA Confidential being mentioned in this show was very low. If you check out Mike's article, the props on that one was very low.
That sounds like a problem with the show though.
That does. Yeah.
We need, you know, LA Confidential should be mentioned often, I think.
I'll tell you what, speaking of LA Confidential, we got our very own Al Zeidenfeld coming to us from the land. I don't know, what do you guys call, what is LA called?
I don't know, swimming pools, movie stars.
So the land, okay. I was going to say the land down under, but like, because it's south of us, but that's obviously Australia. I don't know. Whatever. You look great today, as always.
I don't know if I look great today, but I appreciate that. I am on the Mike Clay trying to be more well-rounded. More specifically though, in reference to the fact that we're baking a lot, having cakes and cookies. So I'm literally, he's figuratively more well-rounded. I am literally more well-rounded at this time of year.
I love it.
That's funny, because I've been watching too many cooking shows too. So I want to become a chef this off season. I know it's unrealistic, because I'll just end up like doing punter projections instead, but I want to, you know. That's, I want to, so do good. It
wait, this, I need content now. See, now this is the way my brain works, Mike. If you're gonna really practice being a chef, I need what you're trying to do and what it ends up looking like. And some of them are going to look amazing, and some of them are going to look like hashtag nailed it. But that's social media content I need from you this off season.
Done. Yeah. My daughters and I play Nailed It with Play-Doh all the time. We watch that show on Netflix. So we have that covered. I'm with you.
Excellent.
That's so great. That is so great. We have so much stuff we're going to get into today. Obviously, we're going to get you all set up for this wild card weekend, all six games. We're going to break down all of them. We're going to break down players from every single one of those games. Obviously, it goes without saying, and I just want to mention off the top, a bunch of stuff happened in our country yesterday. We're all very aware of it. We all definitely have feelings and words and thoughts on it. But you are here to get ready for fantasy football, so we are going to stick to that and leave that to social media or other places where you want to talk about it. So we are going to get you ready for the weekend, obviously. Unfortunately, I do need to report that Mike Clay did beat me last week in the head-to-head. Now, I realize a lot of you don't tune out yet. I know a lot of you are going to want to stop listening right at this point because you don't want to give Mike any props. And I understand that, and I fully support that. But Mike did a good job all season long, 9-8 in the regular season. But guess what? It's not over yet. We're going through the playoffs. Although, Mike, we both had a pretty good weeks last week. Like, it was a pretty high scoring week all the way around, but like you definitely brought home a better lineup.
Yeah, it was a high-scoring week. You're right. You were actually above the target line, right? You were over 150, yep. So you did well. I just came out a little stronger with the 171. But like you said, it was a very high-scoring week. In fact, our winner, LSB13, had a 258.6. I mean, that is a massive, massive number. A lot of points were put on the board last week. And that's rare. I mean, late in the season, you start to see scoring start to drop off, and it just really hasn't happened much this season. You know, it's just been a crazy year. You know, there weren't many penalties early in the year. There was a limited off season. Actually, you remember, guys, you know, not to get too off topic, but remember in the off season, a lot of people were, at least from a fantasy perspective, kind of panicking on, you know, what's going to happen with no preseason and off season? Are the rookies not going to play? Is offense going to be down? And, you know, I remember we kept saying, yeah, but the defense, you know, the defensive players aren't going to get work either. So maybe it leads to more scoring. And that actually turned out to be the case. Now that's one reason of many, but it's been an insane year in terms of scoring. It actually has made fantasy harder because there's been more touchdowns, and obviously with more touchdowns comes more variance. It's easier to project yards and touches. It's harder to project touchdowns, at least on a week to week basis. So it's been interesting, but it's going to take a lot of offseason work to kind of prep for next year and adjust our expectations. But it's been an unbelievable year for offense.
Yeah, I'll say this, as long as the Lions are still a team within the NFL, scoring is just going to be up, man. Like, you know, we did our part to make sure scoring was high this year. Yeah. Yeah.
They will not be relegated. They will not be.
All right, let us move on. This week we are doing another free contest, $200 in prizes. Doesn't cost you anything to enter, just like we did all season long. So please sign up and join that. It's going to be a ton of fun to see who comes out on top here in the playoffs. Mike, I'm assuming that you and I are just going to add up every win that we have. And at the end of the year, it's not like a regular season champ and a playoff champ. It's just the 2020 DFS champion between you and I, right? We are on the same page with that?
Right. I mean, we didn't have to discuss that last year because I just won like every game. We'll keep tabulating through the NFL or the championship weekend. That's what we did last year. So
love it.
We'll see how it goes.
Let's get right into it and talk about Josh Allen, everybody's favorite quarterback this year. $7,500 taking on the Indianapolis Colts, Mike. And is there any reason to believe that Josh Allen would slow down now against Indy after what he's done all season long?
I don't think so. I mean, that's why I like him this week. He comes in at 7,500 against this Colts defense. And look, I haven't projected for three more points than Lamar Jackson this week. Lamar Jackson's $300 more expensive. So, of course, I'm going to lean toward Allen over Jackson, who's going to be a popular play this week. Allen ended the season as the number one fantasy quarterback, ended up doing it easily because he had a pretty good game despite playing only about half of that game in week 17. He kind of peaked early in the season, then he dropped off a little bit for about a month, and then he really started to pick it up and got better and better and better as the season went on, and albeit including a tough schedule. Remember, we were talking about how hard their schedule was in the final month of the season. It did not matter. In fact, his touchdown totals this past five games, 4-2, 4-4, and 3. That's just him. That's not the offense. That's just Josh Allen. He has been unbelievable. He's reached a 300-yard bonus in 8 of his 16 games this season. Really 8 of 15 full games if we exclude week 17 when he almost got there. This is the second pass heaviest offense in the NFL. And as you mentioned, they're facing the Colts, who you think about, okay, Mike, that's a really good defense. Maybe I should be downgrading him, but they have not been good as of late, right? They're allowing the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks over the past month, the 9th most over the past 2 months. They've really dropped off in that area. They've actually allowed 2 or more passing touchdowns in 4 straight games. So I think this is a plus matchup for Josh Allen. He's at home. He's not too overpriced. I think there's really a lot to like here. And by the way, one more note, if the Colts do slow down his throwing, he runs the ball. You know, sometimes he doesn't run because he doesn't have to. He can just pick teams apart through the air. But if they slow him down, he'll just run the ball and add value that way. So there's really a lot to love with Josh Allen.
Sure. Love that. Love that. And cash game, it just feels like the floor with him is just so unbelievably high, but he also has a really good ceiling. Right. And that's part of obviously why, you know, can fit either one here. Al, I want to talk to you about Tom Brady, because even though we've seen it from Tom Brady this year, now taking on Washington here in the first round of the playoffs, $6,900. Somebody, though, that it feels like as he got a little bit of a groove with his wide receivers towards the end of the season, someone you might have a little bit better feeling about going here into the wild card weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he played like 54 years with the same program and the same wide receivers and everything else that he had in New England. It reminds me of the Coming to America line. Do you realize how old Tom Brady was in 2020? Tom Brady was 137 years old. 137 years old. He has thrown 4 touchdowns each of the last 2 weeks, as you has just mentioned. Multiple pass touchdowns in 7 straight. 3+ in 4 of those games. And you're looking for ceiling games here. Like, obviously, Josh Allen is going to be the chalk and the cash gameplay. I think that people that don't play Josh Allen are probably going to gravitate towards Lamar Jackson because both of them have the two highest reasonable ceilings plus floors on the week because of their rushing ability giving them the great floor, rushing touchdowns giving them the 35 plus point upside that the quarterbacks who don't run really don't have as projectably, guys like Roethlisberger, guys like Brady. But Brady has four games with four touchdown passes and 340 passing yards, and he's the only quarterback who's done that this year. So because of that amazing core of pass catchers between Gronk and Godwin and Evans and even Scotty Miller and Antonio Brown and all those guys put together, you can't take one thing away, which is exactly what somebody like Tom Brady, who spreads it around for his entire career, now that he has guys who can win at every position on the field, he can pick whoever's open and just throw to that guy. And we've seen the results. Now, they're second in terms of percentage of yards that come through the air, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 75.3. And they're fifth in terms of red zone pass rate in the league, something else that lends itself to Brady having access to a ceiling game. And yes, I know that the Washington football team's pass defense is solid based on their front seven, based around Chase Young and everybody else in the front seven that puts a ton of pressure on opposing passers. But if anybody can pick this team apart, it's Tom Brady. And we've seen him and that team put up 25, 30 plus points in multiple games. When they do that, it comes through the passing game.
You know, you're not wrong about that. Al, I'm curious though, is he the only guy that you like this week as far as GPPs? I mean, is there any idea of, you know, Josh Allen, obviously we already mentioned, you talk about Tom Brady. It seems like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it feels like with a guy like, I'm thinking about Ryan Tannehill, only $6,600, but it feels like everybody's going to be on Derrick Henry, and understanding that if you're on the Derrick Henry train, can you still be on that Ryan Tannehill train? Or is this more of a, if you're not playing Henry, you're fading him with Tannehill kind of a play?
Okay. So let's talk about short slate versus full slate. So we're used to like 11 to 15 games on the main slates for Sunday. So when you have that much choice, when you're going down the buffet line, you don't have to break any rules. You can kind of, you know, you can just say, look, I'm not going to correlate a non-pass catching running back with a quarterback. I'm going to completely avoid that. Because as I've mentioned before on this show, like over the last 5 or 10 years, don't fact check me, Kyle can do that. But it's like 0.7% of the time has a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver or pass catcher, let's say, all scored 25 plus DraftKings points on the same day. So you're limiting your upside because guys like Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are negatively correlated with one another. So though they are one of the teams that has been good at that because of Tannehill's rushing ability, 100 yard upside for Derrick Henry, but they haven't really gotten there all together on the same day very often, just like anybody else in the league. But as you mentioned, if you want to take leverage on the field, especially in a short slate where people are more allowed to break the rules and they have 2 3-game slates this weekend and 1 overarching 6-game slate on DraftKings. If you want to leverage everybody that's going to be playing Derrick Henry and you think, look, is there a possibility that Ryan Tannehill could throw for 3 touchdowns and run for 1 and Derrick Henry ends the day with 95 rushing yards and no touchdowns, you're going to move up in the standings while everybody else who played Derrick Henry, and I'm expecting like 50-60% of the field to have Derrick Henry in tournaments this week, they're going to just kind of stand and meander and you're going to shoot up the charts. Now, does that mean that it's 100% going to, oh, this is the way that Al's saying I have to go this week? No, like play Derrick Henry. Of course, play Derrick Henry. But in case things go south, if you play the other side of that in tournaments, that's how you really eliminate half the field and you're only playing against the other half when you take that contrarian route.
I love it. I love listening to you talk strategy, Al. I just got to be honest. I think it's always fun. And it's a great point in figuring out with these shorter slates when you talk about how the rules are maybe a little bit fuzzier than they are when you have a full 11 to 15 game slate. So love that. We're going to mention a couple more quarterbacks and then get into our running backs here real quickly. We got Lamar Jackson, $7,800 taking on Tennessee, and Ben Roethlisberger, only $6,100 taking on Cleveland. Two other guys with their price points we think have really good value. Mike, anything you want to add real quick before we move on to running backs?
No, I think that's really good stuff there from Al. As for Big Ben, just keep an eye on what's going on with Cleveland. A lot of people on the COVID list right now, a ton of players. Looks like that game's going to go forward, but Cleveland's going to be down some players, and that could set up Big Ben for a nice week. So with a lot of people on, guys like Allen, Jackson, maybe Brady, you know, Big Ben could be a guy that could sneak through there. So keep an eye on him for sure.
Absolutely. Do you own or rent your home?
Yes.
Sure. Sure you do. I'll bet it can be a lot of hard work too, can it, Al?
It is.
You know what's really easy though?
I don't.
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, let's talk about some running backs here. And we've been waiting for this guy to be the, I have been waiting for this guy to be the guy in this backfield all season long. And now it feels like we're at a point where Cam Akers, $5,100, taking on the Seattle Seahawks, is finally the de facto lead back for the Rams. Obviously, it's still a bit of a committee, but he is the number one guy in that committee. And Mike, I'm curious how you feel about him in cash lineups this week.
I feel great. In fact, he's probably the best value in DFS this weekend, to be honest, at least at DraftKings at this 5,100 price point. And you say, well, there's still a committee there. I don't know about that. I mean, last week we didn't even know if he was going to play in that game, and he handled 21 of the 24 carries by Rams running backs and four of the five targets. I mean, that's workhorse usage. I mean, sprinkling in Malcolm Brown for 22 snaps and him not really touching the ball, I mean, that doesn't sing a committee to me. So I think Akers is the feature back. You know, you look at his past four carry totals, 21, 29, 15, 21. He has three or more targets in three straight games. So we'd like to see more in the passing game, but that rushing volume is tremendous and certainly makes him, you know, if we were talking season long, we'd be talking about him as a no-brainer top 10 play this week. So he's too cheap. He's the 10th highest priced running back this week in this six game slate. Look, he's not only is he getting the volume, guys, he's producing, right? He has 104 scrimmage yards per game during those past five games. And he's facing the Seahawks, who, you know, they don't really stand out against the run. They're mid pack against running backs. They've allowed the ninth fewest scrimmage yards, but they've allowed the seventh most touchdowns to that position with 18 this season. So I'm not worried about the matchup. He's the guy, and he could, you know, if the Rams are competitive in this game, he should push right around 20, if not more than 20 touches in this one.
Man, wouldn't that be great? I'd love to see Cam Akers get 20 plus touches in this game. That would be fantastic. Al, somebody that you want to talk about here, Jonathan Taylor, obviously came on towards the end of the year and did exactly what we were talking about Cam Akers is hopefully doing right now and sort of solidified that backfield. You like Taylor this week at 70. What is he? $7,900, I believe. Yep, $7,900 taking on the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. So again, we're targeting workhorse backs. Cam Akers is mispriced. That's just, he's just the wrong price. Now, Jonathan Taylor is more properly priced, and Derrick Henry is extremely expensive, but also properly priced. Now, I'm here for all Jonathan Taylor propaganda. He's been kind of my guy all year long. From weeks 13 to 17, he is PFF's RB1 overall. From weeks 11 to 17, Taylor's yards per carry after contact are up 78.4% over his rate from the first 10 weeks. So he is somebody who came into the season without any preseason, without mini camps, without OTAs, without everything. He was a rookie who was actually struggling the first half of the season. And then he kind of figured it out. And then his athleticism took over. And the snap rate increased, and the rush percentage of the team carries increased. And he showed his ability in the passing game, catching all but three of the targets that were thrown his way after all of that negative news coming into the season that, well, he can't catch the ball. Well, that's not true. He disproved that. So now if we're factoring in against Buffalo, how are they going to have to play this game? You know, how are the Colts going to have to play this game? And if they can take control, it's going to be through feeding the ball to Jonathan Taylor 20 plus times, and he's one of the three best backs in the league in terms of being a, and you never hear this term used with running backs, but a big splash running back. Mm-hmm. Guys like Nick Chubb who get consistently 20 plus yard runs, or and when you don't consider this with, you know, Chubb or Henry because they don't catch the ball, right? I'm not saying they can't, their offenses just don't throw them the ball,
right?
But it's only with runs. With Taylor, you get those big 20-plus yard runs pretty consistently on top of big splash catches in the pass game. So he'll get the volume that maybe he can get you there on volume as well. And he gets all of the inside the five carries as well. Volume of those leverage, high leverage touches inside the five are massive. But just like Chubb and Henry, he can do it for you on one big play as well to put him completely over the top, as we really saw evidenced in week 17.
Heck yeah, man. Like I believe that you said, and if you didn't, you know, over 19 DraftKings points each of the last 5 weeks, he has absolutely just come into his own as the lead back in that backfield. You know, I want to pivot ahead here really quickly and talk about another guy that kind of, you know, when you talk about being the runner and the pass catcher of that team, Alvin Kamara and the Saints. You know, we saw a situation last week where Ty Montgomery came in and absolutely, you know, we were trying to figure out who that running back was going to be. Right now, we're assuming Alvin Kamara is going to be all set, $8,500, taking on the Chicago Bears. But, Mike, I just kind of want to open it up and have a conversation here about the Saints running backs, assuming that Kamara goes and that there's no setbacks with any of the COVID protocols and stuff that we saw. Do you like his value here this week? And if he doesn't go, just on the off chance, is there one of these backups that you like more than the other based on their value?
Yeah. So first of all, Latavius Murray is off the COVID list. So at the very least, I think we can cross off Ty Montgomery, right? Unless Murray is a surprise inactive and Kamara is not activated from the COVID list. Montgomery at 4,100, we're just not going to go there if Murray plays. Now he'll be involved, but we would expect Murray to be the main guy. So as of this moment, based on who is on the active roster, Latavius Murray is a tremendous value, one of the best in the slate at 4,500. He would be the guy that could push for upwards of 20 carries, maybe more than that, the guy that would get the goal line work, the guy that could see four or five targets, certainly in this high-scoring Saints offense playing at home in the Superdome. So Murray right now, tremendous value. However, of course, as you mentioned, Alvin Kamara at 8,500 could be activated. And if he's activated, obviously it's a playoffs, it's big time. He's not going to be super limited by any means. So you would expect him to play his normal role. And in that case, he's going to be a great value at 8,500. I think that's too low for a guy who was very close to leading all running backs in fantasy points this season. He obviously had a great campaign. Actually, was he number one? By season's end, he was right up there. Obviously,
at running back,
you know what, he had that 6-touchdown game, so definitely was.
Yeah.
But, nonetheless, Kamara at 8,500, I think the price is too low. So if he's a go, I do like him. I would be finding ways to work him in. But again, if he's out, Latavius Murray is your next play.
Al, from a tournament perspective, understanding a lot of that's from, you know, a cash game perspective, how is it that you would approach these running backs, assuming that Kamara plays? And if he doesn't, do you think that, you know, the entire slate is going to be on Murray with that price point?
I mean, I think if the entire slate would have been on Ty Montgomery, I think they mispriced him. But it just kind of is what it is at this point. Like, they left him at like 4,100 after last week's 19 touch game or whatever he had.
Yeah.
He should have been like 5,000-6,000. Like, and he should have been the Latavius Murray range in case they weren't cleared. So DraftKings kind of got a little bit lucky there. I don't think the entire slate will pivot to Latavius in the case that Kamara is not cleared. But he will carry a heavy number in tournaments, because the fact that you could just pair him plus Akers, go with three wide receivers. I think that the standard way to build lineups this week is in cash is going to be a wide receiver in flex, personally, because it's hard to get a lot of running backs in there and actually have a high floor plus a high ceiling. There's cheaper prices on the high volume wide receivers in this slate. So it's possible to get that, especially on the other side of the Saints with like Michael Thomas, I think, being a little bit underpriced as well, coming off IR if he is activated off IR this weekend as well. So I think Alvin Kamara is the clear play. I'm not going to be worried about, well, is he going to get 60%? No, he's the horse and they're going to ride him if he is cleared off the COVID list this week.
Okay. A couple more running backs we want to talk about here really quickly. JD McKissick, $4,900. Obviously all about passing game usage there with JD McKissick. And that price point still feels pretty low if you're looking for a running back to be able to fit in underneath that 5K price point. Derrick Henry, we already mentioned, $9,200. Al, you talked about Derrick Henry likely being used by everybody on the slate. Anything else you want to really quickly add on Henry's usage before we move forward to wide receivers?
It's high. It's very high. He gets the ball a lot.
A lot.
And he's good at, when they hand him the ball, he's good at doing the things that you want a running back to do.
Got it.
But also a real stat, because like I joke too much sometimes. Over the second half of the season from weeks 9 to 17, Baltimore ranked as a bottom 10 defense in terms of preventing running back yards after contact. They are the second worst team over that stretch of all the playoff teams that remain. So, like, Derrick Henry, pretty good at breaking tackles, right? Yeah. So then you add a team that's having problems tackling, and you're going to give the ball to that guy 25 to 30 times this weekend. That could be a recipe for disaster for this Baltimore defense, or a recipe for 150-2 for somebody like Derrick Henry.
Okay. Love it. That'll wrap up our running back talk. We're going to jump into wide receivers. And Mike, I'm stoked to talk. Stephon Diggs. I love Stephon Diggs. The more and more I've watched Stephon Diggs be good in Buffalo, the more and more I've been excited to just, I don't know. I'm just becoming a really big Stephon Diggs fan right now. He's had at least 7 catches in every game since week 9 of the season. 7 catches, not 7 targets. He's had at least 7 catches since every game since week 9. $7,700 taken on the Indianapolis Colts. What do you have for us on Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, this is going to be the Bills portion of the podcast, aside of the yes. Josh Allen part at the top. We're going to talk some Bills here because there's just great values at wide receiver. And it starts at the top with Stephon Diggs, as you mentioned, at $7,700 against the Colts. He is the highest priced receiver in the slate. It's worth it for sure. Look, I have him projected for 24 points this week. That is 7 more projected points than any other wide receiver in this slate. He is the number one wide receiver in the NFL in targets, in receptions, in yardage. He's peaking now. He's having some of his best games recently. He has 9 or more targets in 9 straight full games and in 12 of 15 games this season. You know, that kind of goes with your point with the catches. The floor has been so high. And he also has a tremendous ceiling. He has 130 plus yards each of his past 3 games. He's just been, again, his past full games, he sat out some of week 17. So we don't want to get too caught up in that one. And as for the Colts, again, this is going to kind of play off what I talked about earlier, how they're not dominating the passing game like they were earlier in the season. They are top 7 in fantasy points to wide receivers over the past 2 months. And over the past month, they've allowed the 7th most wide receiver yards this season. They're top 10 in yards per target and yards per catch allowed to that position. And if you think about just over the past month or so, so if we look at their past 5 games, they've had 3 games in which they allowed 49 or more fantasy points to wide receivers. That was Houston, Pittsburgh, and even Jacksonville. So they have fallen off. They're struggling opposite Xavier Rhodes at corner. And it's a spot that the Bills can attack. You know, they don't shadow either. So it's not like they're going to put Rhodes on Diggs, most likely anyway, and that opens up everyone else. These guys are all going to get access to their secondary corner. So I expect a big day from this Bills passing offense, and I'll certainly be looking to stack Diggs with Allen, even in cash this week. Remember, Al said earlier, you have to be a little bit more creative in these short slates. You can get away with more rule breaking. And, you know, I think Diggs and Allen are the best value. So even in cash, I'm fine having both of those guys in my lineup.
Heck yeah. Love to hear that. Al, we're just going to talk about another Bills wide receiver here. So I'm just going to hand the floor back over to you, John Brown, this week. If you decide not to go Diggs or just throwing the idea out there, do you feel good and with these price points to be able to do a double stack with both Diggs and John Brown if you wanted to pair them with Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean, well, the Bills have the second highest team total on the day by 0.25 real life points behind Baltimore. Their team total is 28.75. So they're expecting like 4 touchdowns from the Bills. And as long as those don't go to Josh Allen on the ground or to a random tight end, as Josh Allen loves to throw touchdowns to random tight ends,
yes,
it's going to go to these 2 wideouts. So Steph Diggs, clearly the number one guy and priced as such, but $3K cheaper, we have John Brown. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, you know, Al, Beasley's been really good recently. Yeah, Beasley's been really good when John Brown was out and he was getting double-digit targets per game. But now Beasley missed practice and his status is up in the air for this weekend. So John Brown, it's not like he wasn't doing well before the injury. The last 2 games that he played, 54 of 73 snaps, 53 of 68 snaps, 8 targets in that game against Arizona, 11 targets in that game against Seattle. His best skill, let's say, as a receiver is getting open deep. He runs a lot of 9 routes. He has a quarterback that likes to throw deep a ton. And guess what? Indy likes to acquiesce. They've allowed 14.4 yards per deep pass this season, 4th most in the NFL and the highest among all playoff teams remaining. So this is a puzzle pieces fits together sort of spot. It's not like Steph Diggs doesn't get deep down the field either. He's a great deep receiver, one of the best in the league. He's the American hero. I've been on the Steph Diggs train since literally week two of 2016, but I'm still on the John Brown train as well this week. I love double stacks in tournaments. I'm not going to double stack if you're playing cash games with these two, outside of maybe the three-game slate where there's just not that many choices to pick from at the low end.
Sure. That makes total sense to me. Let's talk about a couple of other wide receivers here. T.Y. Hilton, $5,100. I love his resurgence at the end of the year, taking on Buffalo. Robert Woods, $6,200. Still feels too low for Robert Woods, taking on Seattle. Darnell Mooney, a name that feels like we have mentioned him a ton this year podcast. $3,900, taking on the New Orleans Saints. Hollywood Brown, only $5,400 for Hollywood Brown, taking on Tennessee. Al, I'm just curious, you know, that number feels low, other than the idea that the consistency for Hollywood isn't there. He's that guy that, you know, has both a low floor but an insanely high ceiling if he hits. I'm just curious, with that $5,400 price point, if you like him at all in tournaments this week, or if you'd still be staying away.
Did you say that Hollywood Brown has not been consistent?
Well, he's been consistently not a big game consistent.
I was going to say, you're turning me into Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny. You're wrong. Because Marquise Brown has basically scored somewhere between 13 and 21 DraftKings points for like the last 2 months in every single game. 21, 12.5, 15.8, 13, 14.9, 18.5. What he hasn't been is game-breaking or slate-breaking, and that's what he was last year when him and Lamar were connecting on deep passes 2-3 times in a game. It seems either that they've schemed him out of things like that a little bit. I mean, average yards per catch of 8.2 and 6.3 the last 2 weeks. Are they using him, Mike, more now as a possession receiver, or is this just like, how is this variance? This is just really weird that Marquise Brown is now the consistent possession receiver type guy in terms of PPR scoring, or are we just, they're just not going to him enough, or they're not connecting enough? Like, what is going on with Marquise Brown that he is now Marquise Colston?
Yeah. Well, yeah. First of all, I agree with you. He was consistently terrible in the first half of the season. Now he's consistently good over the past, like you said, going on 2 months. And it's unsustainable touchdowns to some extent, right? He scored almost every game. I mean, that's not going to keep up over a long span of time. It's also Baltimore peaking against a very good schedule late in the season. And it's also, I think, them deciding, look, at around midseason, I think there were some rumblings there. You know, I remember, I think on the show, actually, we talked about, you know, the squeaky wheel getting the grease at some point because, you know, he just wasn't getting the ball very much and wasn't producing. And so they started to develop ways to get the football in his hands. And I think they've done that more successfully as of late. Now, he's still in that kind of 6 to 7 range in targets. It's not really what you feel great about for, you know, a guy you're starting in fantasy or a top fantasy asset, but he's 5,400 and he has a great matchup against Tennessee. He may draw the Malcolm Butler shadow. At times, Butler's looked good this year. At times, he's gotten beaten badly. So I'm not really worried about it. I think at 5,400, he's a great guy you could throw into your lineup in cash this week.
Tennessee's been susceptible to deep passes as well, if I remember correctly. Again, I would need to dig that up. And like, one of the things that I like to look at in terms of cornerback wide receiver matchups, and again, something I don't have handy as we're recording this show, is how a cornerback has done against receivers that run over a 4.4 40 or under a 4.4 40. Like, how do they do against speed guys? How do they do against typically bigger guys? So that would be something I would dig a little bit deeper on as well against Tennessee here.
Okay. Love that. Love it. I love when you guys gang up on me, you know, decide that you want to say, listen, and I don't want to say that Hollywood Brown hasn't been consistent, but he just hasn't. You're right. At the beginning of the year, he was not great. He turned it on towards the end of the year. However, he hasn't been that game-breaking type of wide receiver that he was before. And I guess that's what I mean when I say consistency. I was hoping more big play,
one
long
game
plays
this year above 20 DraftKings points for Marquise Brown, and no games above 21.1. So like, last year, it was like, oh yeah, he had 5 points, but then he had 38.
Right.
Like, we're not seeing those slate-breaking weeks from Marquise Brown this year. And some of that in the first half of the season was just they weren't connecting. There were drop passes. There were missed opportunities where he was 5 yards behind the defender and Lamar just missed him. So just not his year, but nice to see him pick it up down the stretch. As Mike said, 6 touchdowns over the last 6 games.
Well, let's talk about some slate-breaking weeks with our next player, Logan Thomas, $4,900, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's had a couple of weeks in the high threes, very low fours that has absolutely just blown away his production or his value from that perspective. Mike, do you like Logan Thomas again this week taking on the Bucs?
I do. Fortunately, we've been on him over the past month and he has paid off in a big way. And we're going to keep at it because he's still too cheap. In fact, if you just totally eliminate pricing and just focus on how you would rank these players this week, I have Thomas as my number one tight end, and he's $300 less than Mark Andrews at DraftKings. So you can certainly take advantage of that, save some money there and spend that elsewhere. Look, he only had six targets last week, but before that, 12, 15, 7, 9. I mean, talk about a high floor for a tight end. There's not many that fit that bill. Thomas has, as of late, he has 13 or more fantasy points in five of his past six games. He finished the regular season number one at tight end in pass routes run. So that's a great sign, obviously. He's top four in targets and receptions. He's top 10 in yards, touchdowns, end zone targets. This guy delivers in every single category. And the Buccaneers struggling against tight ends as of late. Eighth most fantasy points over the past month. They're top 10 for the season. All of this sets up well for Thomas. And at 4,900, that is not going to hinder you at all when you're setting your lineup.
Okay. Love that. Man, Logan Thomas has been so great. And he's absolutely been somebody that I've enjoyed watching this year. However, now that he's getting up into that higher price point, you know, that mid-tier of tight ends, it always puts him on that, you know, as I'm constructing my lineup, he's somebody that I'm trying to figure out, does he fit within my lineup or do I start with him knowing I want to get him in there and then build kind of around that? A lot of times I do, especially within cash, some different tight ends. I tried so hard, just so you know, Mike, I tried so hard to get Jimmy Graham into my lineup at tight end this week, just as like a, you know, because I know how much you hate Jimmy Graham and I know how much you love Cole Kmet. I could not find a way to make it work, but I so badly wanted to have Jimmy Graham in there just to go up against you. I just want
You know, my daughter has this phrase she uses for pizza, and I won't say the company, but she has a pizza she calls her enemy pizza. So whenever we get it, she says it's her enemy pizza. It's the only pizza she does not like. That's her enemy pizza.
And enemy pizza.
I lost that playoff matchup in a league that I've built a great team. It's tough dynasty 24 teamer, two division sort of thing. I've been trying so hard to win that league for years. And Jimmy Graham had that huge game against me, and I ended up winning. Had I lost that game because of Jimmy Graham, he would have been my enemy tight end for sure.
Forever.
For sure. So I won, so it's okay. You know, Jimmy Graham went to the U, still a lot of love for the guy, but that one hurt, as especially, again, as you said, I'm a Cole Kmet apologist for sure. But,
yes.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Al, let's talk another tight end here. Rob Gronkowski. I believe Gronk's only 4K this week, taking on Washington. You know, we talked earlier about Brady and his pass catchers, and I'm curious how you feel about Gronk, knowing that he's kind of had some things turn on with his wide receivers over the last couple of weeks.
So Gronk is a tournament play for me. This is not a cash game play. This is a boomer bust play. Low floor, high ceiling. Gronk averages 12.4 yards per touchdown reception this year. He's got seven of them. That's 8.2 to 8.3 points on that single play. So like one of those plays would result in him hitting like 70% of his value threshold that we want. 18.2% of his targets have come in the red zone. I think that's eighth most in the league. And Washington's front seven can put a lot of pressure on an opposing QB. Well, Gronk leads the Bucs in targets when Brady is pressured this season. So again, a puzzle pieces fit together sort of a situation here. We know how much end zone and how much red zone love he gets from Tom Brady, not over the years because that's a different Gronk, but this year specifically. And again, this is a guy that can get down the field and do it on one play at a position where a lot of guys don't get down the field. Most tight ends average less than 10 air yards per play. They don't get down the field very much. First of all, Gronk on his own, that's always been a staple of his abilities, is to be able to get down the field and catch passes deep. He still has that now at the age that he's at versus when he was like 22 to 24 years old. So you add all that together, a 15 to 20 point day at 4K out of Rob Gronkowski is nowhere near out of the realm of possibility, but he could also get, because he should get like 3 to 6 targets, he could get you like a 5-point day. So know that when you buy in that he's got that low floor, he doesn't have the routes, or he doesn't play as many snaps as somebody like Logan Thomas or Mark Andrews. He doesn't run as many routes per quarterback dropbacks as either of those two, but he does get high leverage and high value targets and can certainly get down the field. So somebody that I really like in tournaments this week.
Okay. Love that. Let's talk about two more tight ends real quickly. The aforementioned Cole Kmet, only $3,000, taking on the Saints. One of these weeks, right, guys? One of these weeks.
Yeah. Look, he's still dominating the snaps, the routes, the targets. Air yards.
Yep.
Still blowing away Graham. He has just had some bad luck in terms of not connecting on one of them long throws. And all it takes is one, especially at this price point. If he hits on one of those plays, he's going to have a big day. And I think people are off of him. They, you know, we've talked him up for how long and he hasn't hit, but it's all it takes is one and no one else is going to be on him because they're scared away. And it's going to pay off. So, yeah. And also, you know, a little foreshadowing here. If you use him in your head to head, which I think you're going to do this week, I am not. So of course, as our friend Matthew Berry would say, of course, this will be the week that he goes off.
I hope so. I mean, how great would that feel for you to know that you were right on Cole Kmet, but know that it cost you a game? I mean, you know, it could be worse than that. It really could be. One more guy we want to talk about, Eric Ebron, $3,700, taking on the Cleveland Browns. And boy, oh boy, wow. Boy, oh boy, there we are. You guys at home can't see what's going on in front of me, but in our Google Doc, Al just put a trash can.
I did not put that. That was not me.
Oh, that was Mike Clay. Mike Clay put a trash can and a trash bag next to my lineup as though my lineup is trash. How dare you? How dare you? With that being said, I'm going to go first this week in sharing my lineup with everybody. We have reached that point of the show. My head-to-head lineup against Mike, I've got Josh Allen at quarterback, Cam Akers at running back, Jonathan Taylor, my other running back position, got Stephon Diggs, Deontay Johnson, Robert Woods. This is like a superstar lineup. Are you kidding me? I've got Cole Kmet at tight end. And then Darnell Mooney in the flex. Two less superstars, but two guys that I think are priced at a place that would allow me to get everybody else in my lineup in there. And then I've got the Washington football team taking on the Bucks, hoping they can get some pressure on an old man that doesn't know how to use his legs or be able to scramble out of the pocket. A couple sacks, maybe a fumble or two. I'm gonna leave it there. So that is my wild card weekend DFS lineup against Mike Clay. Mike, who are you coming at me with?
All right. So first of all, I'm talking some smack with the imagery, but solid lineup. We'll have to keep an eye on Darnell Mooney, by the way. Love the price point. I actually almost had him in my lineup, but he is questionable and not practicing, so he may be out. So
there keep an eye on that. There are a couple people we should say that we need to make sure that you're keeping an eye on, not just the Saints running backs, also Michael Thomas coming back from IR. You've got Darnell Mooney that we're talking about, and I feel like there was somebody else.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah,
AJ Brown both have questionable tags. Steph Diggs has a questionable tag, but like that just looks like late season maintenance, give him a day off. AJ Brown limited at Wednesday's practice as well. Some of them trend towards playing. They're just giving a veteran's day off. Some of them trend towards not, more like somebody like Beasley. Looks like he's a little bit murky in terms of playing this weekend.
Yep. Yep. All right.
Those for sure. My lineup, I'm also going with Josh Allen at quarterback. Don't appreciate you doing that as well. I am actually going to double stack without Mooney in there. I actually ended up using two Bills wide receivers for now, at least Stephon Diggs and John Brown, who we talked about. Love that. So if that offense goes off, I should be in good shape. I'm going Cam Akers at running back. I'm going with the high floor of JD McKissick at running back, who actually has a high ceiling. We've seen him deliver plenty of high-end scoring weeks this season. Terry McLaurin and Robert Woods at wide receiver. So I'm actually going to use a wide receiver at flex. We both are doing that. And as Al pointed out earlier, that is probably the optimal way to go. Now, that may change if Alvin Kamara doesn't play and Latavius Murray becomes an option for that third slot, but we'll keep an eye on that for sure. Logan Thomas, of course, a tight end. And I'll go Seahawks at home at defense. They may be playing a backup quarterback and not Jared Goff. So they'll be even more appealing if Goff is out for this game.
All right. It's a good looking lineup, Mike. It really is something that's going to be these smaller slates make it difficult to have ways where we're different when we're pretty close to begin with or similar. So I'm interested to see how these playoff slates are going to work out for us. Al, your weekly tournament lineup, if you please.
Yeah, so I put some settings into the optimizer over at Fantasy Labs to try and come up with an extremely contrarian lineup that still had a lot of correlation, because otherwise I would have had like Buffalo double stacks. And it's like, I wanted to be off of what you two were doing. So I have Lamar Jackson paired with Mark Andrews going for the big play. Mark Andrews, obviously a good deep threat at tight end, and Lamar Jackson high floor, high ceiling quarterback. Going to bring that back with Corey Davis at wide receiver, one of the top wide receivers on the season in terms of PFF grades. Michael Pittman and Steph Diggs for a secondary correlation at wide receiver. Cam Akers is just the obvious play, plugging him in. David Montgomery, who had a fantastic run in. Now I'm not expecting like 30 fantasy points from David Montgomery, but he's basically done that for each of the last 6 weeks, but a little lower floor this week than the past six based on a more difficult matchup because it's the playoffs. And I'm going with Michael Thomas in the flex at 6,400. I think he's a little bit underpriced. Washington football team defense at 2,400 this weekend should be able to get some pressure on Tom Brady. Probably going to give up a lot of points, but maybe they can get some sacks, possibly an interception.
Heck yeah. Love it. Love it. Mike, you want to pick it apart? I mean, you make fun of my lineup all the time. Why don't you make fun of Al's or something? Just make it feel like it's not just me, you know?
I'm trying. I'm not. If this was a cash game lineup, this would be terrible. Yeah. This is a put all your eggs in one basket, try and finish in the top 1% of a tournament type lineup.
That's what you're doing when you're doing tournaments, right?
That's how you should be thinking in tournaments. Floor is nice, but like you're not trying to min cash. I'm not trying to finish in the 85th percentile and turn $20 into 35. I'm trying to turn 20 into a million. And the only way to do that is to put all your eggs in one basket if you're trying to win literally all of the eggs.
Love it. I think you're good to go.
Okay. That's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next week. You may have noticed earlier in the week, the first draft podcast showed up into the Fantasy Focus feed. A reminder, Field Yates has taken over as the host of the first draft podcast with Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, getting you ready for everything that you need to know about this upcoming draft class. If you're a fantasy player, maybe didn't have enough time to watch college football, but you want that edge on all of the buddies that you play with in your fantasy leagues, check out the first draft podcast, Field Yates, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. This is the only week in which we're going to put the first draft podcast into this focus feed. So you got to go there, subscribe, listen to it there, but definitely check it out. Field did a phenomenal job. Super proud of him. And that's going to do it for us this week, guys. It has been a crazy week. It is the first week of 2020. We are all very excited to be on to the new year. And just like last year, please don't forget to love each other. Be good to people. Be kind to one another. We love you guys. Be safe. We'll see you next week.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.